To the chief musician on an instrument of Gath, a psalm of the sons of Korah. How lovely is your tabernacle, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs, yes, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, even your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are those who dwell in your house, and they will still be praising you, Selah. Blessed is the man whose strength is in you, whose heart is set on pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a spring. The rain also covers it with pools. They go from strength to strength. Each one appears before God in Zion. And the Lord of hosts, O Lord of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob, Selah. O God, behold our shield and look upon the face of your anointed. For a day in your courts is better than a thousand. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man who trusts in you. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this morning. Thank you for the opportunity, Lord, to share your heart. Thank you, Lord, that this psalm was written many thousands of years ago that we can read today and draw encouragement from. Lord, I pray for your blessing upon the reading, the teaching of your word this morning. May your Holy Spirit come and teach. May your Holy Spirit come and move amongst your people, Lord, that they may be enriched and encouraged by your word. So, Lord, we thank you and we bless you and honor you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I heard a story the other day about a young girl who was invited to go to Disneyland. All expenses paid, vacation to Disneyland with her best friend. And so she went to Disneyland. She was having a great time. But every day she would weep and cry. While she was there at Disneyland and she walked around, she saw other families, you know, having a great time, and she just cried. She said that she had to go into the bathroom every once in a while just to cry. I'm like, wow, how sad is that? I mean, here you are in Disneyland, the happiest place on earth. You know, you're 10 years old. This is what every kid wants. And yet, you're just crying all the time. And as I talked to Maya Murrieta about that story, that was her. She said, Robert, it was the hardest time in my life. It was the first time I ever gone away from home. And as she went away from home, all she could think about was going back home. Going back home, you know, where her father and mother were and her siblings were. And she said, I saw everybody else having fun with their families. And as I thought about it, I just cried. I was like, wow, that's so sad, Maya. Anyways, here we have a pilgrim here in Psalm 84. And he's basically on a journey. He's on a journey to the temple of the Lord. And he's away from home. But his desire is, and his longing is for the temple of the Lord. He desires to be in the place where God is. It says, and it sounds kind of loud here, guys. Is it loud? Because I'm just, okay. I've titled this The Blessed Trifecta. There's three blessings that he says, blessed are those. Blessed is the man, and blessed is the man who trusts in you, whose strength is in you, are those who dwell in your house. And so this thrice blessed, we're going to take a look at. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They will be praising you. My heart and my flesh cries out, or literally, it sings for joy. You see, there's this longing for
this pilgrim to go to Jerusalem, to be in the tabernacle, to be in the temple of the Holy Lord, because he remembers how good it is to feel cleansed, to feel at peace with God. And, you know, many of us, in this time, they were in exile in Babylon. And so being in exile in Babylon, they desired to go back to Jerusalem, to be back in that place where the Lord is. And he said, this is for this place I will be. And you can come and worship me here. And I remember when the coronavirus started last year, you know, right in February, I think it was, or March. And I just remember coming here and this place being empty. We'd come here, you know, just there was like 10 of us that would come here and we'd set up for Zoom. And it just wasn't the same. It wasn't the same when you didn't have, you know, we were just like performers up here. We didn't have, you know, the whole congregation worshiping together. You see, that's what the Lord desires. That's what our heart yearns for, is worship amongst one another, where we can praise the Lord, we can enter into his glory. Amen. Amen is right. And, you know, so they had been in exile. I was just talking to Pastor Tim yesterday, and he's like, I am so bummed. He goes, I was basically going to call you and tell you I'm preaching tomorrow. And I'm like, whatever, Tim. Just stay back, you know. Let me preach once in a while. Tim's like, oh, I oh, thank you, Richie. Sorry, Pastor Tim. Just in case you're watching there, buddy. It's only one person who said it. But Pastor Tim, I talked to him. He said, man, I'm so bored here. This is horrible. I'm just restless, you know. I don't want to be here. I want to be there. I want to be with the people of God. I want to be in the presence of the brethren, you know, worshiping the Lord together. And I tell you, when we get together here, and we worship, it was like nothing else. I remember longing for that when this place was empty. I would sit there and they would be practicing here and I would be worshiping, thinking, wow, this is beautiful. There's no place like being in the house of God. And that should be a longing. We want to be in that place where God is. You say, how long have you been away and are desiring to worship the Lord again? You see, the sparrow and the swallow, he talks about. The sparrow is a picture of utter loneliness. In Psalm 102, it says, I lie awake and I am like a sparrow alone on the housetop. And if you've ever seen a swallow fly, you'll know that it just darts in and out of the air and it's a restless bird. And so both are apt descriptions of God's people sojourning in this world. They are lonely and restless. And the only place where they find rest and security for themselves and their families is at the altars of the Lord. It talks there, even your altars, O Lord. So in the tabernacle and in the temple, there were two altars. One was the brazen altar, which represents the death of Christ. The other one was the golden altar, which also represents the resurrection of Christ. Both of them represent the finished work of Christ. And so I remember Jesus saying, come to me, all who are weary and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You see, the Lord wants to give you rest for your soul. He wants to give you rest. You see, the enemy, on the other hand, he wants to make you anxious, discouraged, tired. He wants to draw your heart away from the things of God. He wants you to keep your eyes focused on here and today and how we need rest for our souls. You see, because when you're weary, we know Satan will attack you when you're weak, and he'll attack your weak spots. You see, Jesus fasted for 40 days, and it left him famished. So Satan began with the topic of bread. Jesus' stomach was empty, so the stomach Satan turned to. The question is where are you empty? Are you hungry for attention? Are you longing for fulfillment? Are you craving success? Are you longing for intimacy? You see, be aware of your weakness. Bring them to God before Satan brings them to you. Do you understand that, man, when we're longing for these things, we're longing for fellowship. We're longing for peace in our hearts. We're longing for fulfillment. There is no fulfillment, true fulfillment and satisfaction apart from Jesus. There just isn't. I mean, I lived out in the world, 23 years before I came to Christ. And I realized then that, when I was 18, I thought, I got kind of coerced into going forward and coming to the altar and praying a prayer. And I just remember going home saying, "Not today, Lord. Not today. I can't. I've got too much of my life to live." And what a fool I was then. I thought my way was better. I thought my way was better. And I experienced nothing but troubles and hardships. And the Lord was drawing me into Himself. And it took years. It took years till I finally said yes. Yes and amen, Lord. Now is the time. And you'll get the opportunity this afternoon. You see, secondly, he says, "Blessed is the man whose strength is in the Lord." Blessed is the man whose strength is in you. Ephesians 6:10 says, "Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." You see, his strength is in the Lord and not in himself. You and I, we have limited resources. We literally have limited resources. The other day, I was, wanting to put these big 4x8 sheets up on the roof of my shed. And I'm thinking, okay, how am I going to do this by myself, And I was sitting there thinking, okay, maybe I could get Terry to help me. Maybe she can lift it up, And then I thought, not good. So Wednesday night, I was here at church, and I was, talking to all kinds of people, who can I get, I run a nonprofit company, Everybody helps me. They help me build my fence. They help me put heating and air conditioning in. I just got all these people that I love it, man. It's like good fellowship time, so I feed them, and, my wife feeds them, sorry. Not me. Anyways, Aaron remembered, and he texted me, and he called me and says, "Hey, do you need help?" I'm all, "Yes. Thank you, Jesus." And, in a couple hours, got this stuff on the roof and nailed down, and it was it's like the Lord is always providing resources. He's always providing resources. In Ephesians 6:10, the commentary, he says, "The host of Satan are committed to hinder and obstruct the work of Christ and to knock the individual soldier out of combat. The more effective a believer is for the Lord, the more he will experience the savage attacks of the enemy. The devil does not waste his ammunition on nominal Christians. In our own strength, we are no match for the devil. So the first preparatory command is that we should be continually strengthened in the Lord and in the boundless resources of His might." You see, God's best soldiers are those who are conscious of their own weakness and ineffectiveness and who rely solely on Him. God has chosen, in 1 Corinthians 1:27, it says, "God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things that which are mighty." You see, our weakness commends itself to the power of His might. You see, our strength must be in the Lord. We must draw upon the strength of the Lord each and every day. That's why He tells us to put on the full armor of God. Every day you're in a battle. You're in a spiritual warfare battle. A battle not of flesh and blood, but of principalities and powers. And they're constantly coming attacking you, trying to get your weak spots in life. And without the Lord and without His strength, we're going to fail. You know, we're going to fail. And it's like call upon the Lord. He will give you the strength in time of need. I might have told you guys about this before, and you know, I was building the little tree house that I never built for my daughter Olivia. I always promised her I'd build her one, and so now I built her one for her grandkids, right? And I like to do things by myself, but things get hard sometimes. And so I had to put the roof on of this tree house. So I had to climb up an 8-foot ladder to do it. And I had to put it all together down at the ground and then pick it up and get it up to the roof. And the thing's about 7-8 foot high. And I was like, huh. And I remember Joey telling me one time, Dad, I asked for the strength of 10 men one time. I said, okay, I'm going to do that. And so I was literally standing there thinking, okay, Lord, You said to call upon Your name to get the strength. And so I said, Lord, give me the strength of 10 men right now. So I picked this thing up. I walked up on the ladder and put it on top. I barely got it on. I thought it was going to be disastrous. And I got it up on top, and I was like, wow, it worked. But you know what? You know, the Lord gives strength when we need it, not just for physical things. The Lord gives strength for mental things, for psychological things. He gives that mental strength to us. You see, we have to call upon His name. We have to put the helmet of salvation on. We have to put that belt of truth on, and that shield of faith, and that breastplate of righteousness. You see, to protect our heart. And secondly, He says, whose heart is set on pilgrimage. Meaning His heart is set on Jerusalem. His heart is set on going to the tabernacle. His heart is set on things above. Colossians 3:2 says, set your mind on things above and not on things of this earth. In Matthew 6:21, Jesus says, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. A wise man who once told me, when I was young and getting in the trade, that one day you're going to want to retire, kid. Therefore, you have to sacrifice things today to live well tomorrow. And it's true. As of January of this year, technically I retired. I know. You're probably thinking, aren't you like 40? Like, no. I'm 55 years old, okay? And I'm able to retire. And I retired. But it came at a cost, you know. It came at a cost. And, it's just a beautiful thing to retire. All the things that the Lord has me doing now, it's amazing. It's like, as He says, you go through the valley of weeping, you know, through the valley of Baca. As we go through the valley of weeping, they make it a spring. In October of this last year, you know, I talked about it before, the Bell's palsy hit my face, and so I might slur some of my words, and my face was, you know, all like jacked up on this one side, just totally dead. And it must have been a stressful time at work, and it was right at the beginning of October. And it was like, you know, I sat there and I just looked at myself, and I thank God we had like masks to wear. And I wore that mask everywhere, you know, because I just felt like, you know, just utterly self-conscious. I felt self-conscious. And I didn't want to ask the Lord why. I didn't want to do that. because I know the Lord is good. I know the Lord is good, and He always has a plan. You know, 3 years ago, I got shingles, and that led to them finding out that I had cancer. And I still have it. It's still there. I went through, you know, a year of chemo and radiation. Still there, but that's okay. Don't feel sorry for me, because I tell you, man, the Lord showed me. He showed me the reason why. And now I rejoice. I rejoice in seeing the hand of the Lord work in all of it. In all of it. I mean, I was just astonished, and I'm like, Lord, you know, thank you. Thank you for giving me that understanding. And when you see that understanding, when you see from a heavenly perspective what the Lord has for you through your trials, through your valley of weeping, there's no better thing. You start forgetting about the temporal things. You start thinking eternal things. Eternal things. I have had more opportunities lately to share the Word of God to people, to lead people to the Lord. You know, I was talking to my wife like a couple Sundays ago, and she was, you know, it was her last day of work, and she had just got off at like 1 o'clock, and she was going to stay home. And I said, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and stay home with you. I'm going to stay home with you, and we can watch it on the Zoom. And then we found out, that Brittany's dad, Ben, took a turn for the worse. And I had been praying for Ben for months. For months I've been praying for him. And the Lord told me back in September, October, He says, you need to go see him. I said, okay. So I asked a few times. I said, no, he's not seeing anybody. You know, they don't want him to see anybody because his condition, you know, if you're sick, it might worsen his situation. So I just left it there. And then I heard this, and so I ended up calling Charlotte and said, hey, Charlotte, can I see Ben? And she said, let me ask him. And so Ben said, yeah, let Robert come over. So I went over there, and I sat down, and Stephen had just gotten there with the kids and everything, and they're all watching TV, and Ben is sitting there at his chair, his recliner, and he's watching TV, and the kids are there watching TV, and I thought, well, how's this going to work, you know? And I just said, hey, Ben, the Lord called me to come and talk to you. And I need to talk to you, and I want to share the heart of God to you, because He loves you, and He desires that none perish, not one. And once I started talking, the kids all of a sudden got up, and they left. It just, you know, all of a sudden it was like silent in the house, and I'm like, where is everybody, you know? And I started talking to Ben. I said, hey, I want to read a few things. Is that all right? And he said, yeah. Yeah, please. And he had a hard time breathing. He had a hard time talking. But I started reading the Word of God to him. And I started sharing the heart of God to him. And he picked up the channel changer, and he paused or muted the sound. And his eyes were fixed on me. And it was like the Holy Spirit was working in his heart right then and there. And I shared the heart of God. I said, Ben, the Lord loves you. He desires to save you. He desires to give you peace. I said, but there's a great white throne judgment coming. There's a judgment coming. And I said, you and I both know the evil that we've done. You know, people think that, oh, I haven't done any evil. I haven't. No. If you recall, man, the books are going to be open. Everything's going to be laid before you. It doesn't matter what good things you've done. The books are going to be laid out there. Every evil thing, everything that you've done is going to be laid before I said, and we're not going to have any excuse. I said, but you know what? Jesus paid that penalty. Jesus paid that penalty for your sin and for my sin. I said, you have to receive it, though. I said, there's no other way around it. I took him to John 14:6, and I said, listen, you know, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father except through me. And it was a hard statement I had to show him, that there's no other way other than Jesus. I said, otherwise you're going to stand in judgment. I said, I don't know when you're going to pass away or when I'm going to pass away. I don't know. I didn't have a clue. I thought he was still fine. He was talking to me fine. Everything was good. And so he said, yes, yes, I want to do that. And man, I was like, okay. And then I started talking to him about the thief on the cross, how today he would be with him and with Jesus in paradise. And I talked a little bit more about that. I said, Ben, are you sure this is what you want to do? He said, yes, this is what I want to do. I want to give my life to Jesus. I said, okay, let's pray. And we prayed, and he prayed. And he didn't have any trouble breathing at that time. And we held hands, and he squeezed my hand. I remember him squeezing my hand as I was praying for him. Man, he needed the peace of God at that time. Ben needed the peace of God, and he found the peace of God there and then. Little did I know that that was the last time anybody was going to be able to, like, come over and see him. Because his oxygen stopped working, and they had to take him to the hospital, and they don't let anybody in there once he's in there, in the ICU. And 3 days later, he passed away. But you know what? He's in glory now. He's in glory now. So we're not weeping for Ben. We're rejoicing for him because he's in the presence of God. And this I know. And when I told Charlotte, she started weeping. She started weeping. Pastor Tim even asked me, hey, did he have any concerns? I said, no. His eyes were fixed on whatever I was saying and whatever I was telling him. His eyes were fixed on me and me talking about the Word of God to him that day. And I was like, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. But Ben needed peace, and he found peace in Jesus only. And so as you go through the valley of weeping, your tears will turn into springs of refreshing. You see, the man who's strengthened in the Lord will transform his tragedies into triumphs and his misfortunes into stepping stones to greater things for the Lord. The tragedies that come my way, I see him now as, man, Lord, what do you have? What do you want to show me? What do you want to teach me, Lord? When you're strengthened in the Lord, it says that we go from strength to strength. He says it right there. We go from strength to strength. And it's true. Excuse me. Psalms 1, 2, and 3 says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bring forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. You see, Jesus and his word is the source of our strength. And I am finding out the more I get into the word, the more every day that I get into the word, the more opportunities I have. I feel, and I honestly feel like Caleb and Joshua as they're ready to enter into the promised land. I feel like that my strength is even stronger today than it was when I first became saved. I'm renewed. Every single day I feel it. I get on my Zoom meeting with these men and we just talk about the Word of God. We talk and we discuss and we learn more about what it is to know the Lord and to know the peace of God, to know the strength of the Lord. And it's like, God, you're good. and he's good. And there's nothing that, you know, I can't do because the Lord, he's got the unlimited sources. He's got the unlimited resources. Lastly, he said, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. You see, the Lord is going to direct your paths. You know, if you acknowledge God in all things, he's going to give you understanding. Don't lean on your own understanding. There's so many decisions out there that we have to make each and every day. But, you know, our trust is in the Lord and in the power of his might. Our trust is in where he's leading us. We just have to find out where that is. We just have to ask. He says, you have not because you ask not. And when you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your own pleasures. You ask with wrong motives. Listen, when you ask for the things of the Lord, you'll know that you have them if you ask. Jesus says, hey, whatever you ask in my name, that the Father will give you. And I take that to heart. You know, I mean, I could be like, well, I want to see better again. And, you know, this is just temporary stuff. This is, you know, so what? I got used to my glasses. Plus, I think they're cool now. So, you know, so what if I can't see that well when I don't have them on? My wife looks prettier and prettier every day when I have my glasses off. Just kidding. Sorry. I was kidding. My wife's beautiful. I love her. Better is a day in the courts of the Lord than a thousand elsewhere. You see, the satisfaction and fulfillment in the presence of the Lord can't be compared to anything. The satisfaction that you feel when you come into the presence of the Lord, you know, it can't be compared. It can't be. And you think you're going through struggles now, you just place them at the feet of the cross. And you know what? God, you know, he allowed this cancer to be in my body. And I'm okay with it, you know. And people tell me, hey, I'm praying for you every day. And I thank you for praying for me every day. I thank you, you know, for those who pray for me. I rejoice at that, you know, because it gives me strength. It truly does. But better is a day in the courts of the Lord than a thousand elsewhere. And then he goes on to say, I would rather be a doorkeeper. I love the statement. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. Do you see the contrast there? There's the house of God, which is this permanent thing, rather than the tents of the wicked, which is just up for a little while. There's no endurance in the tents of the wicked. There's no lastingness of that. You see, this earth, it's going to fade away. This is all temporal. Our minds need to be focused on the things above and the eternal things. As I hear RB talking about it, you know, in the exhortation, man, we got to think in an eternal perspective. When we start thinking that way, man, everything else changes down here. Everything else changes down here. Also, one of the benefits, it says, the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord God is a sun and a shield. God is our illumination in the dark. He says that your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Also, the Lord is our protection. He's our shield. He's our strong tower that we run to. This is all for the man who dwells in the house of the Lord. The Lord extends his grace in time of need. And he tells you, my grace is sufficient for you. And one day, we will, at the end of our journey, he will receive us in glory. And we're all listening for these words to be said. Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. And lastly, he says, no good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. Can I get an amen for that? Listen, if it is good for us, he won't withhold it. If you remember nothing else today, remember this. If it's good for us, he won't withhold it. If he withholds it, it wasn't good for us. So that thing you've been praying about, that thing you've been asking about, that he hasn't given you yet, not now. Not now. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. Man, that makes me want to walk uprightly. Right? Blessed are those who dwell in the house of the Lord. Blessed is the man whose strength is in you. And blessed is the man who trusts in you. You see, if you want to experience the blessings of the Lord, then become a dwelling for the Lord. You see, in the beginning, the very first line, it says, how lovely is your tabernacle. It literally means, how lovely are your dwellings. That's the literal term. How lovely are your dwellings. You see, I am a dwelling for the Holy Spirit. I am a temple for the Holy Spirit, and so are you. But if there are some of you that have never repented, have never asked for forgiveness, have never believed in the Lord Jesus to where you actually ask him into your heart, today is the day that you can be a dwelling for the Lord. And that's what the Lord desires. He desires to come in. He desires to dwell in you and give you all these things. All these benefits are for you. They're not just for me. They're not just for Pastor. They're not just for, you know, you. They're for everyone who desires to dwell in the house of the Lord. They're for everyone. How lovely are your dwellings? And I'm going to ask you to stand. If you've never asked Jesus into your heart and said, you know, hey, I want that. I want to be a dwelling for the Lord. Because he says that he will give you the Holy Spirit. He will come inside of you and reside with you and sup with you. And he will share things with you that, you know, he'll give you a peace that passes understanding. The Lord wants to do that for you. He wants to do that for you. But many of us, we get afraid. We say, no, I don't want to do it in front of people. Jesus said, hey, if you confess me before man, I will confess you before my Father. But if you deny me before man, I will deny you before my Father. Meaning we can't be ashamed of the Lord. And this is a place, this is a safe place, right? Right? I mean, we're all here. We all love the Lord. But there's some that are possibly here that have never done that. You see, my parents baptized me as a baby. They baptized me as a baby, but that didn't save me. That was just for their own good. That didn't save me. Jesus said that you need to repent. I couldn't repent as a baby. I didn't have that opportunity. So that baptism when you're young is not salvation. That is for the parents and the parents only. We have to actually ask Jesus to come into our heart. So, if you want to do that this morning, I'll lead you in a prayer. I'll lead you in a prayer. So, I'd ask you to stand now. Stand now, and then I can pray with you. Thank you. Praise you. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Thank you. Alicia? Anybody else? Now is the opportunity. Now is the time. You know, it takes courage to stand. It takes courage to stand. Because we know that this is a safe place, but out there, they'll laugh at you and they'll mock you. But that's okay. This is where you draw strength, right here. Right here. Anybody else? All right. Alicia, if you will just repeat after me. And I'll pray a prayer. Just repeat after me. But this is your prayer to God. This is your prayer to God. And he says that if you confess me, that if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus was raised from the dead, that God raised Jesus from the dead, you will be saved. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, I confess my sin. And I know my sin has separated me from you. And I ask and I repent of my sin. And I ask you to come into my heart. To give me your Holy Spirit. I believe that you raised Jesus from the dead. And I will serve you all the days of my life. My Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name. Amen.